listening to Joe Barnes Online. We're talking about building businesses, creating an income for life, and having the freedom to work from anywhere in the world with passion and energy. For want of a better phrase, grabbing life by the proverbial balls. My name is Joe Barnes. Let's make it happen. Hello there, how are you doing? Joe Barnes here. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today. And gosh, I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest today. She is an amazing woman who I met very, very early on in my online adventure. She actually started a social media training business called The Social Garden back in 2010, 2011, when I was teaching people how to use Facebook to build their brands and their businesses. And at the time, her and her husband were setting off on an adventure around the world, house sitting. And it is an absolutely phenomenal story how for much of it she did it with only two social media clients, and she tells us how she did that. She also explains how you can do it for probably less than $2,000 a month and be able to go around the world and see some amazing places, stay in some top apartments in the most incredible locations and just have the time of your life. So I think you're going to really enjoy this podcast. Please let me introduce the very lovely and wonderful Eden Rudin. Hey Eden, how are you doing? Welcome to the podcast. It's fantastic to talk to you today.
Hi Joe, how are you? It's been a long time.
It has been a really long time actually since we've had a good old catch up. So I'm really looking forward to this podcast because I want to hear all about what you've been doing, because you've just gone kind of, you're even more traveled than Rhett and I now, I think. I mean, you just took it to an extreme.
Yeah. Just jumped right in with 2 feet, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm gonna start at the very beginning, because it's a very good place to start, as the Sound of Music would say. So we met online. God, I don't know how many years ago now, but it was when you had your ice cream shop, Scoops.
Yeah, when you started the Joe Barnes. When you started, I was one of your founding members.
Right. Okay. So it was all the way back in 2011 then. So just at the beginning of 2011. Yeah. Wowee. Okay. Awesome. And where was Scoops based? Where were you actually based at the time?
In Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
Okay.
In the United States.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about where you were at that time when we first met with your ice cream shop.
Oh, we were still reeling from the economic crisis of 2008, basically. But we had planned on selling the business in about 2012 and moving to Belize.
Okay.
And yeah. So when we met, I was starting to do social media management for local businesses along with our ice cream store, because the local businesses were seeing the success I was having with our ice cream store, and they asked me to do it for them, basically. And that's when I realized, wow, this is pretty cool. I could take this with me anywhere.
Okay. And so did you end up selling your ice cream shop?
We did, and not till a year later, 2013.
Okay.
And we made the move to Belize in 2013. 12 suitcases, our dog, and rented a place and moved to Belize.
The whole kit and caboodle. So that was prior to what you're doing now. That was like the whole kit and caboodle, big old move. And yep. And how was Belize?
Belize was nice. It was hard. It was hard living. It's more expensive than we had. We'd obviously taken some pre-move trips, and it was just a bit more expensive. It was hard. Living in Belize is hard.
Okay.
It wasn't easy. But we enjoyed it. It was pretty. The people there are fabulous. It's a beautiful, beautiful, still one of the most beautiful countries I've ever been to.
Okay. How long were you there?
A year. We rented for a year. We were going to get residency. So you have to stay in the country for a year in order to get residency. So we actually stayed in the country for 1 year and didn't leave, thinking that we were going to get residency. And then it came time to give the government like $3,000 for residency. And we looked at each other and said, do we really want to make that kind of investment into this country? Do we want to be here this that long? And started looking around. And some friends said to us, hey, you should check out Nicaragua. And we're like, what? They don't speak English there. That's kind of crazy. And we got here, and Denny fell in love with it, like in a half an hour of walking down the main street, just absolutely fell in love with the country.
Okay, awesome.
And 45 days later, we moved to Nicaragua.
So while you were in, while you were in Belize, were you building your social media management business at the time?
I was. I took one client with me from the U.S. The other ones I transferred to other people because they wanted that hands-on, and they didn't feel good about having us not being physically there. And then I got a couple more clients from referrals and was continuing to do that. Yeah. It was difficult in Belize. The internet was slow. It wasn't reliable.
Yeah.
Power would go out. So I wasn't really focusing on pushing. I got referrals and I took those on as clients, but I didn't really go out and put myself out there because I didn't feel confident I could do a good job for my clients.
Isn't it amazing how times have changed? How, like, now a company wouldn't hesitate to take you on whether you're across the other side of the world, because now everything is digital. It's all Skype and FaceTime and Zoom and all the rest of it, you know, back in those. But I remember at the time people having issues like that. Oh, but I want to work from home, but my clients want me to go to their offices all the time because they don't do Skype. You know, I remember people having those issues. How interesting. So you'd
manage. And they still want to write checks.
Yeah,
they still want to write us checks.
Yeah. Do you know, AWeber still pays their affiliates by check. I still get a check from AWeber every 6 months in the post, all the way from the US to the UK. It's so funny.
Yeah, but you can change it now. You can put it to PayPal.
You can go in there and do that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like in the last 6 months.
Wow.
They're still so like behind the times.
Gosh, took them a long time to do that, didn't it? Anyway, so going back to the initial journey when you still had your ice cream shop and you started to get into social media management, because the people listening to this podcast are a mix of people who are sort of traveling entrepreneurs, digital nomads, and people who are trying to create and build businesses, you know, remotely, so they can work from home or travel if they want to. So I'm sure they're going to be super interested in kind of what led you into social media management at the time, and how did you kind of start to get it off the ground? What were your sort of first steps in making that happen?
Well, my experience was, I'm kind of lucky because we actually had a brick and mortar store.
Yep.
So I was using Facebook like crazy because it was free advertising. I mean, actually at the time, I think Facebook had given me $500 in advertising credit if I changed my phone number on my Facebook page so that it rerouted through a call center for them.
Yep.
So they could track the calls. It was so new. Mm. And so I had businesses coming to me saying, look, I see you're doing this Facebook thing. What's that all about? And I don't really want to do it. Can you do it for me? And so once I took the first client on, then of course, once you have your first client, then everything else is easier, right? Because you learn all the mistakes and then you can say, oh, I'm already doing it for such and such business. And then they're like, oh, really? Well, then if you're doing it for him, like, you do it for me. You know, it just kind of snowballed. It actually snowballed to the point that I couldn't take on any more clients. And I started coaching and training other people in the community to do social media management. I actually left the town with three other people that were trained and could take on clients. And that's who I transferred my clients to.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a business, my business was still there to run, right?
Yeah.
So once I got up to about four people, I'm like, whoa, I can't do anymore and give you enough quality time plus run my business. So I kind of had backed up. And then I started doing, and then I realized that the market, the demand for people wanting to learn to do it themselves was very big. So I started doing in-person trainings too. So I like rented a room at a hotel and would advertise that I had this class, and I would charge $75 for a 3-hour Facebook 101 class. And I would teach people how to set up their page.
Brilliant.
And that went bonkers. I mean, every time I held a class, it was completely full. So. Oh, here we go.
Gosh.
Teddy, shut up.
Sorry. It's all right. Those were the days, eh, when Facebook was new and everybody wanted to know how to do it. Okay, so let's go back to your trip from Belize to Nicaragua. So when you went to Nicaragua, was this another sort of lock, stock and barrel move, or was this time mm-hmm. slightly lighter?
No, it was actually more. We bought a TV. So we had to haul that too. So no, it was actually still 12 suitcases. we actually had bought a pressure cooker and some other kitchen kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we hired a minivan to take us from Belize to Antigua, Guatemala. And that was like $500 for the guide. And that was a 10 hour drive. And we had this whole minivan loaded up. And then we had friends in Antigua, Guatemala, who we stayed a couple of days with and just kind of detoxed and visited with. And then we hired a tour company, but a private van of theirs for $1,000 to drive us the next 16 hour leg, which crossed three countries. So it was a very complicated day. We had to go, you know, there's each country, the country has a border in and out, and the next country has a border in and out, and next country has a border in, and we had to leave the other country. So it was a very long day.
Wow. Yeah.
But we did. We hired, and they showed up. We left at 3 a.m, I think, Antigua, Guatemala. We got to Nicaragua about 7 or 8 at night. Might have been 9.
And you'd rented a house, had you? You'd rented a property there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'd already rented the property on our pre-visit and picked up the keys, and then just had the guys unload our stuff into the living room, and we just, and our dog, we still had our dog with us.
Okay. And how long were you in Nicaragua?
We rented for a year.
Okay.
We rented that place for 6 months, and then we moved to a better place for 6 months. And that's when house sitting, that's when our transition into house sitting came about.
Okay. All right. So we'll get to the transition into house sitting in just a second. Before we get there, though, that year that you were in Nicaragua, what was happening with your business at the time?
Then we had better internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was much more viable to take on clients. I was much more active. I was much more participating. I started talking to a lot of the locals because there's a lot of expats here. We're here right now. In Nicaragua, in Granada. And so I started talking to them about their businesses. I started helping a couple businesses. And client-wise, I think I just was still focused on my two primary clients at that time. You don't need a lot of income. Our life when we left the U.S. is lifestyle first.
Yep.
So I could have taken on more clients, but that wasn't what I wanted in my lifestyle. So my day revolves around spending time with my husband and working in the evening. That's the most important thing for us.
You know, that's a really interesting point you just made there. And I just want to hone in on that for a second, Eden. You know, I think people have this view that in order to travel and go and see the world, they need this inordinate amount of income, or they need to be multimillionaires. And it's just not true. When we first started traveling and were coming to Thailand all the time, we had next to nothing. You know, we were building our business. We had very little funds. But you go and you find these countries that are a little bit cheaper to live in. You know, you can obviously work your own hours, so you can work in the evenings or what have you. And, you just don't need as much
right.
money as people think you need. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't need as much stuff.
Yeah.
So you don't need to spend money on, you really need a roof over your head and food.
Yeah,
you
don't have the monthly gym membership, and you don't have the Netflix, and you don't have the cable TV, and you don't have the latest greatest car, and you don't have
insurance.
Yeah.
And the internet, you know, all that stuff. And even the internet bill, usually when you rent someplace, your internet's included, or your electricity and your water's included, or, you know, it's just different. Different countries have different ways of doing things, and you can find some place that fits what you can fit within your budget. Honestly, you really can.
Mm. So Nicaragua, then, what's the kind of cost of living over there? Would you say that's a fairly cheap place to live, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And even more. Yeah. But yes, it's definitely fairly cheap. It's probably, it probably was the cheapest in Central America for cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
Probably close to a third of the U.S. So let me give you an example. We're renting a one bedroom apartment with a patio, an outdoor patio, for $400 a month. We paid for our electric, and I think that was usually about $36 a month. If we ran the electricity is very expensive. So if we ran the air conditioner, it would be in the 60s or 70s, but we didn't generally need to run the air conditioner. And that included water and 2 meg internet shared over 4 units. So we end up 2 meg internet shared over 4 units didn't work for me for work, so we actually had to have a dedicated router brought in, and that cost us $40 a month. So basically for $450 a month, maybe less than $500 a month, we were living.
Yeah, you sorted, which is great.
Yeah. And totally. So figure we spent maybe $100 a week on groceries.
Yeah.
And there's two of us, right?
Yeah.
So in that range, so we're literally at $1,000 a month, the two of us were able to live, and we were comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And Denny could drink his wine, we could go out and have a coffee. We weren't, you know, uncomfortable by any means.
So that's just a great example of being able to, you know, travel and not think you have to be a multi-zillionaire. So
right.
you at the time you were in Nicaragua, you were doing a little bit for local business, just doing bits and pieces here and there. You had two main clients, but still you weren't really kind of, you know, pushing your business.
No, right.
Yeah.
No. I mean, we were still in the mode of one, learning to live in a new place, right? We don't speak Spanish, or we didn't at the time. So it's a Spanish-speaking country. So we had a lot of and learning new friends. We had a whole, there's a great expat community here. So we're getting to know them. So that, all that stuff, you know, movie night with friends and luncheons and Funko and those, they all took priority over working, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I get it. I'm totally with you. It's awesome. And so what happened after Nicaragua? Tell us about the house, the transition into house sitting. What how did all that occur?
It was just really unique. My daughter had come in to visit, and she said she had been house sitting in Belize, but we didn't really, it was for friends, so we didn't know it was house sitting. And in the time that Nicaragua is high on the backpacker and travel blogger spectrum, right? Because it's in through Central America. Belize is not. Belize is more expensive, and it's English speaking, so people kind of tend to stay away from it. It's more touristy, but for travelers and travel bloggers, Nicaragua is pretty high up there. So I was watching the Twitter feed of anytime anybody mentioned Nicaragua, and I was getting in. So a travel blogger was coming by, and I'd be like, oh, we're in Granada. Make sure you get together with me and let's have some coffee. You know, I'd love to meet you. Talk about where you're traveling to, right? Because the plan of living somewhere and less expensive was that it would allow us to travel.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to these travel bloggers. So I just kept networking and building up this huge network of travel bloggers. Well, two or three of them had come by and said, oh yeah, we just finished a 6-month house sit in Puerto Rico, and we're just spending a month here being tourists. And then we're heading to Greece to sit on a boat for 3 months. And we're like, what? Really? That's what you do? I'm like, yeah, that's what we do. And so I think it was like two or three house sitting travel bloggers I had met with, and they had kept mentioning this. And so I said to Denny, would you consider living in somebody else's house? And, if it meant we could travel. And he's like, no, I'm not going to go use somebody else's kitchen and their appliances and sleep in their bed. And that's really not acceptable. We can go somewhere where we can live. Oh, okay. Well, then that's off the table, right? No biggie. And my daughter had come to visit. It's coming to Nicaragua. And she said, Mom, post in the expat group and see if anybody needs a house sitter for me. And that way we don't have to stay with you in your 1-bedroom apartment. We can go stay at their house. And so I did. And so one lady next that literally lived like 2 doors down from us, like, yeah, I'm leaving for Hawaii for a week. And I didn't even think about it, but I need somebody to watch the cat. Oh, well, my daughter will be here. She'll watch the cat for you. She'll stay at the house. And so she got a couple house sitting gigs, and then she stayed with us a little bit of the time too. But everybody in the expat group had kind of put the stigmatism to me that I was interested in house sitting, I guess. It wasn't about me. It was about my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the expats who lives on the other side of the country, on the Caribbean side, in the beautiful blue waters, turquoise, just gorgeous area, sent a message. He's like, hey, we're going to the U.S. for 5 weeks. Would you guys consider coming and watching our house for 5 weeks? And we had an apartment. We were renting, right? And we had a dog. And I'm like, shoot, you know, what do you think? And he's like, well, we can just spend a vacation. We'll go there for 5 weeks. We can bring the dog. We'll leave our apartment. We'll still pay our rent, and we'll just go over there for 5 weeks and kind of see what that side of the country. Well, that's exciting. Okay, let's do that. So we said yes. And about 10 days later, a friend of ours sent me a message and said, I think we're considering buying a house in Granada. We're going to come look at it, but if we decide to buy it, we can't move into it for 4 months. Would you guys live in it until we could be there?
Right.
Like, what? And this was all like, we just committed to this other house sit. Like,
yeah.
We didn't know it was really a house sit at the time, just watching a house for a friend. And So they came out, they decided they put an offer on the house. We said, yes, we would watch the house, and they got the house. So in the matter of 30 days, it was, wow, I think we need to give up our apartment because we are now have housing for the next 5 months.
Right.
And it, so was like, okay, well, what are we going to do with our stuff? Now, remember, we had 12 suitcases full of stuff. So
Yeah.
Well, the house that we were moving into, the one that long-term sit, was fully furnished, but didn't have a lot of, it was a rental.
Yeah.
So it was fully furnished, but it was rental-y kind of stuff. So I'm like, well, shoot, I'm taking all my kitchen stuff because that's my binky. And Danny's like, well, I'll take my tools. There's some work I can do on the house, electrical-wise and stuff, and kind of clean it up for them.
Yeah.
So we kind of moved all of our stuff. We downsized a bit, yeah, but we still probably moved about 6 tubs of stuff over to their house.
What did you do with the dog?
Oh, the dog, that was another thing. The dog was ready to be put down.
Bogey,
it was time. And we knew it was time. He was walking into walls. It was time. And it was just time. And we really, it kind of helped us make that decision that it was time to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So we left to go, this is going to crack you up. We left to go to the sit on the Caribbean, the 5-week sit. And the day we fly out, my stepfather dies.
Oh, no.
So we arrived to this 5-week house sit, our very first house sit. And we arrive and I'm like, I have to go to Las Vegas. My stepfather just died. And my mom is, no, he's going to be cremated. And it's not a rush. Like the funeral is not a rush, right? It's not like tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's already gone. But so I said to my mom, can Denny stay at this house sit and I'll come and then I'll fly back. And she's like, no, I really want Denny here with me because he's kind of her rock. And I'm like, okay, so, well, we have to leave. So we had to make all these arrangements. The owners had a backup plan, which was great.
Right.
It didn't work out very good for them, but they did have a backup plan. So we stayed 2 weeks at the sit and then the housekeeper stayed the other 3 weeks, but it was the irony of all of this planning and something traumatic like that to happen that just throws you way off, right? So you just have this whole plan. So we went to Vegas, dealt with the funeral, stayed for a few weeks, and then flew back to the longer term house sit.
Okay.
And let me tell you, within 2 months of being in that house, we were booked out for an entire year.
Really? Wow. What, just from the forums and stuff that you were part of? You were just...
From letting people know that we were doing this. The other locals in town, the other expats who had never even considered, that the reality was like, oh, I moved to this foreign country, I have dogs. Wait a minute, I can go on vacation? Because in a foreign country, you don't have like lodging. Like in the U.S. you do, in Canada, but they don't. In poorer countries, right, more less developed countries, I should say, they don't have boarding facilities.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't trust a foreigner with your pet because they're like your child, right? So they're like, wait, an expat will watch my dogs and I can go away on a cruise for a week?
Do you know, Aiden, you've just given me, my daughter is desperate for a dog and we have been saying no to her for years because we travel. And she is so please, 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 please. And I never even thought of this. So we could go away for our 6 or 8 weeks and have somebody stay in a, who wouldn't want to stay in a lovely house in Phuket? I mean, it's an awesome opportunity.
Exactly.
Wow, what a great. So, oh my God, I have so many questions. Hold on. All right. So how, if somebody wanted to sort of start this lifestyle, where would they go to? Are there any specific websites or forums or places people should go to start finding out about house sitting opportunities?
Yes. there are. So do you want me to give you my favorites? Because there's so many. There are many. There's some that have a bigger brand recognition, but we don't use those.
Okay, just give me a couple of your favorites now, and then what we'll do is we'll have a chat afterwards as well, and you can give me a few more and I'll put them all in the show notes, but
okay,
in fact I'll put them in the show. Just give me a couple of your favorites though right now.
Okay, so houseitmatch.com. She focuses a lot on Spain and England, but she has sits all over the world, like China and other places. Very boutique site, very handheld.
Yeah.
Nomador is it's so it's nomad and then OR at the end.
Okay, yeah.
.com. That's a really good one. They do a lot of French, a lot of French house sits. And House Sit Mexico, if somebody was interested, like in Mexico, I would say to go to House Sit Mexico because you're going to find the best sits there.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll put a few more in the show notes for people okay. who are really interested okay. in this. But that's just awesome. So you were booked up for a year, and where did you go? What were some of the places you visited?
In one of the forums, there's a Facebook group called House Sitting World, and they have a place where you as sitters can post that you're available, and then they also have where owners can post they need somebody. And I had posted because we had to do border runs outside of Nicaragua. We had to leave for the country and then come back. I had posted that we were available for, 2 days to 10 days kind of thing, with a very flexible schedule throughout the year. Just get in touch with me. So one woman contacted me. She was from California, and she lived in Costa Rica. And she said, could you do 3 months? And I said, no, I can't do 3 months. But she said, can you do 10 days? And I said, oh, 10 days is perfect because that's our border run, right? Yep. We go across the border. We house it for – and she said, I got to warn you, there's 11 dogs.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like – okay, but do they all get along? And she's like, nope, it's a great pack. It's not all her dogs, it's some of the neighbor dog, but they live at her house. Like, they sleep at her house, they eat at her house, they live at her house. And I said, well, as long as they all get along, I'm okay with that. She's like, she said like three times in three different emails, I gotta warn you, there's 11 dogs. I did tell you there was 11 dogs, right? Like, yeah, we're dog people, that's okay.
Crikey, right?
So before we even get there, she says to me, if this all works out, I'll let you know that I have this, I need somebody for 3 months coming up the first of the year, if you're available. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see how it works out. But if it does work out, yeah, that we're available.
Okay.
So in the middle of the 4 month sit, we had to go to a border run. And so that was the time we went to see her.
Yeah.
And we went to that 10-day house and it was fabulous.
Yeah.
The dogs were wonderful. We were very comfortable in the house. And I think within 3 days, we're like, yeah, if you want us to do 3 months coming up, let us know what dates were available. And she's like, can you do January through March? We're like, yep, we sure can. So we took, we finished up the house sit in Granada. I believe we took another couple small house sits, like a week here and 5 days here kind of thing. And then we took off to Belize and we took a month on our own. Because yeah. we were booked up. Now we're booked up till next March. Really.
Right. Right.
Is that me?
No, you're good. Good. You're good. I can hear you.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So we were trying to figure out, because it's a responsibility. House sitting is a huge responsibility. Whether there's pets, like the 4 month house that had no pets.
Yeah.
Or the 11 dogs. It is a responsibility.
Yeah.
So we're trying to plan a break for ourselves. So we decided we're going to take the bus down to Belize and spend a month stopping in Antigua and seeing our friends again, going to Belize, seeing old friends, and then heading back from there. And then we actually flew from Guatemala back up to Costa Rica.
Okay. So you were in Costa Rica. Where'd you go after Costa Rica?
Oh, well, that was fun. So in January, we're looking at our year because we're now January through April 4th. We're going to be in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And then we have nothing planned. Well, let's go to Europe. Like, let's go spend the summer in Europe. Okay, why not? So I found a repositioning cruise that went from Panama to Portugal for 199 euro.
What's a repositioning cruise?
Oh my gosh, we have so much to teach you. You're going to love this. So the cruise only goes one direction. It's repositioning. So in the winter, it spends in South America.
Gotcha.
And during the summer, it spends in the Mediterranean.
Gotcha.
So they
okay.
have to actually move the boat across the ocean.
This is such awesome information. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it goes only one way, and they're very inexpensive. You can get them very inexpensive if you don't use American lines. And they go all over the world. Like, you can go from Australia to Los Angeles.
Wow.
You can go from Dubai to France. I mean, they go all over the world. Right, because they literally have to move the boat from wherever they're going to be for the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was 199 euro, 13 days, all your meals, all your alcohol, your entertainment, the bed's going to be made for you every day, all that stuff.
Wow.
So when you added the taxes, when we add the taxes and then we did the trip and the tips was $136, the whole thing came out to $550 per person for 13 days. Can you believe it?
Oh, that's awesome.
We couldn't even flown for that and had lodging for 11 days. Like, It was, and we got to eat what we want. All the alcohol was included, so Denny could have Bloody Marys for breakfast. And
no
Mike
way.
Had lunch. And,
blimey. Mm-hmm. Gosh. What company was
it's
that
fantastic
with? Which company?
Pullmantar. The name of the company is Pullmantar. Pullmantar. It's just like it sounds. And they do this every year, so you can come back from Europe. I actually think they go out of Spain or Portugal, and you come back to Panama or maybe into Colombia, I'm not sure, in the fall, September, October, and they go every year in April, May, they head over from this continent. They go back and forth.
So you headed to Portugal on your repositioning cruise. Fantastic. And you had a house sit waiting for you there, did you?
Yes. Life just kind of happens, right? So in January, I bought the tickets January 1st. So at that point, we knew we were going to be there. So we need to start booking. We were going to arrive, I don't know, June 3rd or something. So we need to start booking house sits when we arrive. We had some friends that moved to Portugal. So we went to real quick just to see a couple days to see them. And Denny in January or February says to me, hey, since we're going to – oh, no, I guess we booked a Spain house sit. That was our anchor. We booked a Sevilla Spain house sit in – I want to say like August or July or something.
Yeah.
And that was our anchor. So we're going to book someone pre and we're going to book some post, right? We knew we were going to do that. And Denny says, well, since we're going to be in Spain, and it's so close to Morocco. I've always wanted to see Morocco because Anthony Bourdain did this cooking thing and I just really want to see it. And that noise is frogs and I can't make them stop.
It's what? It's frogs.
Yeah. They're like 50 feet away from me at the pool and that's how loud they are. I'm really sorry.
That's
I can't
okay.
make them stop.
That's okay. This is the, you know, anybody listening to this podcast right now, you have to live with the frogs because that is the whole thing about traveling and house sitting and all the rest of it. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So we booked a Spain sit and he says, I want to be close to Morocco. So honestly, in sometime in the next 4 days, I'm on a conversation in the house sitting group and somebody talks about Morocco. A pipe had burst at the house. And it was kind of like, this is why you need house sitters. The owners had left, they had house sitters and a pipe had burst. And had the sitters not been there, the house would have flooded and probably crumbled by the time they got back, right?
Yeah.
So it was just one of those, hey, this is why. And everybody's like, wow, is that Morocco? I'd love to do a house sit in Morocco. And one of the house sitters posted a message saying, hey, we know this couple that we house sat for this couple for 2 months and they go away a lot. And I immediately messaged him as soon as I saw that. I'm like, who is it? How do I get a hold of them? Because my husband wants a house sit in Morocco. And in 15 minutes, I had her email address or I had some contact information. I sent her an email. I'm like, look, we're going to be in Spain these dates. Would you? And we arrive here and we have gaps here and here. Could you possibly need a house sitter in these times? And 15 minutes later, she sends back a message like, I'm on the road, but yes, could you do July or June, whatever, for a whole month?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. And it's like, I'm just like, how about a house sit in Morocco, Denny? And he's like, yes, that'd be fabulous.
Oh, amazing.
So we did the house. We got the house sit, never talked to them on Skype, which is unusual. But the other sitter had done it and I trusted him. I knew him. Yeah. So I recognized that it was, and that was, you're asking me when we got there. So we got to Portugal, saw some friends, immediately had to get to Morocco, basically. So we went to Sevilla, Spain, which is where we're flying out of. We met the Sevilla, Spain owners. They took us to lunch. They actually drove us to the airport, which was very kind. We flew to Morocco. The day that sit ends, we have 1 day to transfer back to Spain because the owners, I mean, we were like back to back. Like literally the owners in Spain were leaving the day after the Morocco sit ended. So we had to get back to Spain.
Yeah.
And then the Spain owners, they asked if we could stay on an extra 10 days. And we had said yes. And then we had a sit in Portugal for 8 weeks. And actually my mom came to visit. In Spain, we had a friend from Arizona come visit. What did we do after that? Oh, and then I had put in to speak in the Philippines with T-Bex. And so we knew we wanted to head to Asia. Like our plan was go to Europe, but we're going to end up in Asia. We're going to spend a few years in Asia and check it out like we did Central America.
Yeah.
Because everybody's telling us how much we're going to love it.
Yeah.
So we headed, I put an application to speak for T-Bex. They had a conference, the Travel Blogger Conference
yeah.
in Philippines. So they accepted my proposal and said yes. So they flew me to the Philippines. So I just had to pay for Denny's ticket to fly him on the same flight to the Philippines. And then from the Philippines, we flew to Thailand. Actually, we flew to Thailand the day the king died on Friday, and we flew in on Monday.
And I think we were just flying out or something at the time, weren't we? You went to Chiang Mai, did you?
Yep, right to Chiang Mai. Yeah,
but I know we missed each other somewhere along the way.
Yeah,
there.
We did. So that was kind of interesting.
So, okay, so let's just while all this is going on, what's happening with your business?
Wait, that's a trick question. I have to think back. I think I still have my two clients. So yeah. I had had them for a few years at this point.
Yeah.
I had taken on project work. So some consulting stuff, just random. I was working on building up the Social Media Academy, the Social Media Manager Academy, excuse me, so that to train other people to be social media managers. That is the end goal for me. So I'm constantly working on that. Educating myself always. Like, I think I was more into learning new stuff, and Facebook was making some huge changes that year. Huge, huge changes.
Yeah.
And Instagram was really coming into play.
Yeah.
And they just bought Instagram, I think, that year. So it was really, there was a lot of constant learning I was doing, trying to keep two steps ahead, which I don't know why I do, because you really don't need to. But I like to. So I was taking on little bite-sized projects, but they were all, you know, fairly sizable, you know, 14-day project for $800.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So just kind of keeping yourself going with jobs here
and
there. Yeah.
Yeah, and just building community. And again, we were traveling so much, I think, at the time that lifestyle, I wasn't putting emphasis on my work.
Okay.
Like finding clients, my two clients were sustaining me. We were very comfortable, and I wanted to explore. Like, you get somewhere and you want to explore. I don't want to be tied to have to work. And I knew that when we got to Asia, I really wanted to make sure we got a chance to see Asia, or to see Thailand, I really should say, because we didn't go anywhere else except for Malaysia.
So were you primarily funding your travels through your two clients, or did you already have some finances behind you from savings and things as well?
Denny has recurring income from his Social Security.
Okay.
So that's a minimal, it's not minimal. It's not significant, like thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But it's significant enough to sustain us.
Yeah.
But so paying for airfare and buses and all that kind of stuff, that's what my income does.
Yeah.
Right. So it pays for the travel part where we can live on Denny's income.
Right. Okay.
So.
Awesome. Okay. So you travel a little bit of Asia, and now you're in, where did you go after Asia?
Went back to the US. Okay. Asia didn't work for us.
It didn't work for you. You weren't you weren't Asianified.
No, it didn't. It was very hard. It wasn't a good fit for us.
Okay. Why do you think that was? Because we love Asia. Why do you feel it didn't really work for you guys?
It was too busy. It was really busy. It was very difficult. My husband's in his 70s.
Yeah.
Right. So we're not like spring chickens running around. I mean, I might be a little bit more, but we do have a more slow attitude. So just dodging cars to get to a restaurant. We didn't have a kitchen because we were renting a condo.
Right.
We just had like the whatever you want to call that stuff. It was just, we had a nice size refrigerator, but we didn't have anywhere to cook.
We're
going out for meals all the time. We're very much homebody people.
Yeah.
We love to be home. Like, I can go 3 days and not see anybody because I have my social media and my work. So I don't have to have the physical part so much. Backwards. But
yeah.
So we just really didn't, you had to get for breakfast, lunch. We had breakfast at home, but lunch and dinner, you had to get up and get showered and get dressed and go out. And oh my God, that got so tiring.
And where was this? Up in Chiang Mai?
Yeah.
This was all up in Chiang Mai. Yeah. See, we need to get you next. Yeah. I'm going to get you over to Thailand again and get you out of Chiang Mai. There are other incredibly beautiful, quiet, tranquil, amazing places in Thailand that you guys would love, even just for a short period. So,
We would do it again for a vacation, but we were looking at it for living, right? We rented a place for 6 months.
Yeah.
We only stayed two because it just didn't fit for us.
Just wasn't
but we thought, so when you go somewhere for vacation versus going somewhere for living, we were really trying to make it work. And we had I think I just had really high hopes because so many people had told me, oh my gosh, if you love it, Nicaragua and you love Granada, you're going to love Chiang Mai. You're going to love it there. Oh, and it's so cheap and everybody's so friendly. Well, people were very friendly, but the language barrier was difficult.
And it is super cheap.
So cheap.
I must admit that Phuket down here, I mean, it's a lot more expensive than up in Chiang Mai, but it's a totally different lifestyle. I mean, the roads are still, the roads are the worst thing about Thailand. They're the things I don't like. But other than that, down here in Phuket, the language barrier isn't so great. A lot more people down here speak English, which I actually, I'm trying to learn Thai, so I want to speak Thai as often as possible, but so many people down here speak English, it is a different lifestyle, and I've been to Chiang Mai with my sister, and while we enjoyed it, I much prefer the coast, you know. It's a whole different way of living when you're by the beaches and all the rest of it, you know. It's lovely. Anyway, we'll have that discussion another time.
We will come back. I do want to see it, but I want to see it as a vacation.
Yeah. So you returned to the US. And what happened then?
Well, we had not really a good plan. Denny wanted to go to Mexico. I was adverse to going to Mexico. I just had been to Mexico many times in my younger years and had very bad karma in Mexico. He really wanted to go to Mexico. We were seeing fabulous sits on House Sit Mexico. For Mexico, fabulous sits. I mean, just gorgeous. And gorgeous homes, pets, views, timing, nice long sits, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we were kind of detoxing from Asia. It was, you know, we had been not grounded with American language for years. I mean, at this point, right? We've been Mexico or Central America and then Europe and then Asia.
Yeah.
So it was time. We just wanted to get like grounded again. And it was getting to be like a month. We're living at my mom's house. That's kind of our base. And it'd been, 3-4 weeks. And we're starting to talk. We need to start talking about what's next. Where are we going next? And there's a website in the U.S. called Nextdoor. And it's kind of like a Craigslist, but it's local. Like it only stays very, very local. Like you put your zip code in. You have to put your address in.
Yeah.
Right. So it only gives you this small radius. And people don't just use it for selling stuff. They use it for like, hey, did anybody hear those sirens going by? Or, hey, there's a crash on the street. You know, the police even monitor it. It's that kind of a community thing.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? I'll just put, I asked Denny if he wanted to stay in the U.S. for a little while. He said, yeah, that'd be great. I said, okay, well, we probably should get a house sit, even if it's for a week, because to get away from my mom and, you know, have a little break from living with my mom. And so I put an ad up and I said, hey, house sitter available anywhere from 4 days to 2 months. We charge, in the U.S. you can charge. And since we're American citizens, like we can charge.
Yeah.
Normally we don't, this is all free. So I had said up to $10 a day because I knew boarding in the U.S. can be $30 to $50 a day.
Yeah.
$10 a day, 4 days, anywhere up to 2 months. And I think that was, you know, we're experienced sitters. We have lots of references, blah, blah, blah. 10 minutes later, a message comes up and the guy's like, can you do 2.5 months?
Awesome.
Like, well, okay, what is that? So I call them on the phone and I'm like, so what does this entail? He's like, oh, you have one dog. You'll get access to the cars. And they literally lived 2 blocks from my mom.
And they were going to pay you to stay at their house?
Yes.
For two and a half months?
Yep.
Awesome.
And we went over, we said, well, we have to meet you and meet the dog and see the location, blah, blah, blah. They had already booked their trip to Italy for 2.5 months. They were going to put the dog in a kennel or a camp, whatever you want to call it,
for
2.5 months at $45 a day.
I was going to say, which would have cost them significantly more. Yeah, yeah.
That's like $5,000.
Yeah.
So we're in the garage. The dog is adorable. The house is lovely. The people are lovely. And we're like, yeah, we'll do it. He said, well, how much is it going to cost me? I said, no, we don't charge. In this situation, because you're for us, the exchange of benefit is a better relationship than being of service to someone for a fee. It changes the dynamic of the relationship, right?
Yeah.
So I said, no, we don't charge. And my mom just lost it. She's like, what? You could have charged them $10 a day at least.
Exactly. Mm.
But it does. It changes the dynamic. I don't know if you know what I mean. It really changes. If you said, I'll do this for you as a gift, or I'm going to charge you, you have a different expectation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if there's even more responsibility involved if you're going to start charging. Yeah, so I get that. It's a win-win.
Exactly.
You know, it helps you. It helps him. It's all a win-win. Okay, so so that's awesome. We could talk about this. We could talk about this for hours, Eden. But unfortunately, I don't have hours on the
no,
podcast.
No, I know. We head to Mexico. We actually did go to Mexico.
You did go to Mexico. Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you have a better experience in Mexico?
Yes, much better. We got some amazing houses right on the beach and right, just beautiful houses, and lots of references to go back to also. But yeah, we spent about 7 months there total.
Wow. And currently you're in Nicaragua.
Yeah, on a 4 month sit. It's just wrapping up.
But it's been a bit challenging this time around, you were telling me.
Yeah, we arrived about 2 weeks after the country went into social political unrest, and about a week after we arrived, it went to its ultimate peak of insanity, basically. Yeah.
And what's been happening?
Oh, there've been killings and protests and shootings and kidnappings, and it's just awful. The tourism industry here, they've lost 100,000 jobs. Oh. 80% of those are tourism related, and they won't come back anytime soon until the political issue is resolved, basically. But it's been hard. So we had a good month and a half, 2 months of a lot of tension, national strikes where everything's, I mean, even Costco, PriceSmart is closed down. I mean, the whole country is shut down for 24 hours.
Right.
A couple times, just, not sure if they're gonna turn the power off because the whole country shut down. Yeah. Is the water gonna be turned off? It's not, so we're done. We leave here in a few days.
Okay, and probably quite glad to leave at this stage, which is a shame, right? Because you guys love Nicaragua.
Yes, yes, yeah. And it is. We won't come back. We won't be coming back because this is going to be what we're seeing is only the beginning until a significant change has happened. So
what a shame.
We probably won't come back. It is very. It's so sad to see something that. And we choose not to go places now because it breaks my heart. Like I could burst into tears seeing what's happening. And it's really, really hard. The people are still beautiful. The country's beautiful. It's just a really sad situation. It's a small version of Venezuela.
Yeah.
If you can understand how that's going.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's only getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right at the crust. I mean, just the beginning of it. It's in it. So anyway, yeah, we're going to get on that plane. I'll probably start crying. Enjoy.
And where are you going next?
House sitting wise, next is Sweden.
Sweden?
But we're making, we're making a little bit around it. I'm speaking at TBX again in New York.
Okay.
So we're flying to New York and then Vegas to see my mom.
Yeah.
And then heading to Sweden. And we have a sit booked for Egypt after that also.
Wow. So is this your, in between your sitting, obviously you go and rent places, do you? So you kind of house sit and then sometimes in between that you'll stay with friends, relatives, and maybe some renting as well.
Yeah, we did in Chiang Mai, we rented.
Yeah.
And then we hoteled for a month in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Or Airbnb'd. Generally we don't have gaps.
Yeah.
So like the Sweden sit, we have 3 weeks in between the sit. And so we're basically traveling. Yeah, we have friends in Germany and Spain. Actually, the Sevilla, Spain people have moved to Valencia, Spain. And we're flying out of Valencia, Spain to Egypt. And I messaged her and she said, oh, well, then we'll book you for 10 days before you leave.
Oh,
and then
fantastic.
We'll also spend a couple of days visiting with you.
So some people probably actually plan their trips around you. So if you say, hey, we're going to be in town on this date, they're like, great, these guys are in town. Let's book a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we have, especially when we go back to Mexico, we have a list of people that have basically said, when you're heading back this way, let us know 6 months in advance and we will start booking up, making our plans.
Gosh, it's just amazing. It's fantastic.
Because they can leave their pets.
Yeah. And do you tend to stay mainly in places with pets then? Is that like a really big plus for you, that you guys like pets?
Yes. Yeah. We did a 6 weeks in Mexico with no pets, and we did 8 weeks in Portugal with no pets, and that's too long for me.
Yeah, you like your animals.
And I could do 2 weeks, but yeah, I feel like I'm out of my element. I get sad. I want some doggy around her.
But also from the owner's point of views, they do you find there's more owners with pets looking for people who'll come and sit to look after the pets than there are people without?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
By far.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
House sitting as a whole is a massive. I'll give you some stats. So Australia is the number one country. Australia, at any given time, there's 1,200 house sits available.
Wow.
1,200 house sits across the country of Australia. I mean, that's just insane. Some of them might be 2 days, some might be 10 days, some might be 2.5 months. There's everything in between, but there's at any given time about 1,200 house sits. France is next. France probably has close to 600 or 800 house sits at any given time. Right. You could live in France full time. If you had a visa where you could do that, you could live in house in France full time and house it.
Yeah.
And then I think like the U.S. is tied with, in my perception, the U.S. is tied with Spain. Spain has a lot. And England. Spain and England together, and then the U.S. Those are kind of like the next bundle.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane. It once you open Pandora's box. And there's a lot of, I know you're on the same page as I am, a lot of mindset. You put it out there like Denny with Morocco, right? You put it out there. And if you're living the mindset of abundance, right? What comes to you, we've never had a bad sit. This is sit number 32 for us. I have people who have had horrible sits, but I think you manifest a lot of that.
Oh, I totally agree, Eden. I really do. You know, we live in Phuket and we have a lot of expat friends. Yeah. And we have friends that love Thailand, and we have friends that love living here but constantly struggle, are always having problems. And the ones that love it and live comfortably and happy have got a certain mindset, and that mindset is positivity, abundance, friendliness, generosity, helpfulness, all of that. And the people that live here but who constantly have problems seem to just constantly have problems in their own life, in their family life, in everything going on in their life, you know, and therefore they kind of project that and then constantly have problems here in Thailand as well. And so I totally with you with that whole kind of, you know, it's who you are and what you manifest, definitely.
Yeah, and the laws of attraction, you put it out there. You know, if you put drama out there, you're going to attract drama.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's there. If you put gratitude and abundance and appreciation and respect for what's happening around you, that's what you're going to attract also. So it has never been more evident to me since we sold our ice cream store. I mean, how strong and powerful that is. Basically.
No, I really do. You know, I'm not a big fan of The Secret because I think it kind of promotes this stuff's just going to happen and you don't have to actually work or do anything. But I do believe wholeheartedly in the power that your thoughts have on your actions and kind of what happens around you. I really do. I think it just embodies your whole aura, you know, of who you are as a person. Yep. You know, so if you are walking around with constant positive thoughts and you're really kind of putting out there into the universe the stuff that you really want to achieve and the goals and your dreams and the kind of people you want to meet and stuff like that, then what happens is you just start to embody that as a person, and therefore opportunities just kind of show up, you know. It's
exactly,
it's phenomenal the way it happens. So is this your lifestyle now for you guys? Is this kind of it? Do you ever see yourself settling, or are you kind of, this is you, you just love it, you're just loving the role?
So my husband being older, right? That's the one thing that people ask him constantly. Every time somebody meets him, they look at him, they're like, "Oh, how much longer are you going to do this?" He's like, "Until I'm tired of doing it."
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Why would we stop? So we do have, both of my parents are alive.
Yeah.
And we do have that, that significant role to play there. So we
I know,
are the, we are the...
your mum's not too well at the moment, is she? And needs
right,
a bit of your
right.
support right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it, depending on how that, but we plan that, right? In our lifestyle, we have planned. To be perfectly honest, after Egypt, we don't have anything lined up.
Yeah.
We had nothing. And this is, again, in that gratitude and abundance and the power of what you put out there, the energy you go out with. We haven't found, and this is coming up on 6 months, and usually we're booked 6 months in advance. That's not, that's abnormal for us to not be booked for 6 months in advance. Mm. And after the sit in February, we were going to do a little bit of touring around Egypt. And then we have nothing planned. Like, we can't go back to the Schengen zone yet. So, but nothing's come up. And it turns out that it may not be, it may be that it's not supposed to turn out that way because we need to be back with my mom at that time.
Yeah, yeah. If you get a chance, try and do a little cruise down the Nile. It's amazing. Oh, it's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, we did it a few years ago and it was amazing, really.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to try and find the name of the hotel that we stayed in one day. It's like a treat night. Do you know what I mean? It's a treat
okay.
night.
Yep.
It's one of those.
And
where
that's
you
another
just,
thing.
Yeah.
We do that when we're so in Sevilla, Spain, in between the owner had asked us to stay an extra 10 days, but they needed to come home between the trip and do laundry and clean up and they needed a couple days. And then, so we said, okay. So we went and stayed in a 4-star hotel in the middle of Sevilla, Spain.
Yeah.
You know, with pillow menus and, you know, and they upgraded us to a patio and, you know, rooftop terrace and all this kind of stuff. But that's what it also allows us to do because we don't have all those expenses every month.
Yeah.
So when we do something, we really kind of do it nice for ourselves.
Absolutely. And you have these treat nights, don't you, where you just really kind of splash out and go and have a night or a couple of nights at a posh place. So I'll figure out the hotel we stayed at and send you the details because it was gorgeous.
Okay, good.
It was lovely. But yeah, that was a treat and a half, a cruise down the Nile and going to see all the different, you know, Egyptian... what are they
the
called
thing.
yeah it's my brain has gone dead, but you know, it was just incredible. The pyramids are amazing, everything is wonderful. So I'm trying to think, the thing I hate about podcasts is that they're not live, and I know that when this podcast goes out I am going to get inundated by questions, so I may have to do a whole blog post on this podcast to answer everybody's questions that they're going to want to answer. Just a quick one before we go, and this is not asking you your own personal circumstances, although alluding to it, but just for people listening, you know, if they wanted to adopt this kind of lifestyle, yeah, what sort of budget would you say, a monthly budget, they would need to run this kind of lifestyle? If somebody said, you know, I've had enough of my job, I'm fed up with everything, you know, I want to go out, I want to travel the world, house sitting sounds ideal. What would be a kind of an average monthly budget you think somebody could do this for reasonably comfortably?
So a couple, two people?
Yeah, let's say a couple.
Assuming that you're not extravagant and you're eating and drinking. I mean, like you don't need to have prime rib every night and you don't drink excessively because alcohol can be a big contributing factor to cost. You could be under $2,000 a month.
Yep.
And still afford to buy. I mean, you wouldn't be hot. Like we wouldn't go from Mexico to Spain back to Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
You plan your regions, right? But you can travel, and those other months when you're there, you're saving up the money to pay for the flight to the next place, right? Or within Europe, obviously, you can fly, or Asia, even you can fly very cheap.
Yeah.
So I would say less than $2,000 a month.
That's, I mean, I really hope that that gives people hope on this podcast. I really hope that they suddenly go, oh my gosh, you know, I could have a similar lifestyle and it is not unaffordable. You know, it's something I really could manage. And your business at the moment, the Social Garden, are you still up and running? Are you actively
uh-huh.
looking for clients, or do you have enough clients?
Not actively looking for clients. I have enough clients again.
Great.
But
okay.
I am getting the academy up and running. I'm doing a mini course, depending on when this launches, but I'm doing a mini course, like how to get your first client in 30 days kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the academy is going to open up again. The Social Media Manager Academy is going to open up again to students. I'll start taking students in. And that's a 6-week course to teach people how to have social media manager clients, basically.
Yeah.
to so that they can have that, because the income can be $350 a month. It could be $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
Right. But how many of those do you need to live a $2,000 a month lifestyle?
Well, you could just have one client, couldn't you? I mean, you could have one client that completely sustains you for your whole.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yep. So it's that easy. I mean, it's or you could be where you want to be paying off your debt. So you could start this lifestyle and you want four clients at, you know, $500 a pop, and you're paying off your debt so that you can go start your journey. There's just so many. It just opens up so many doors.
Those frogs are going mad, aren't they?
That's only three frogs.
Yeah, we have some here in Thailand that really, they're so loud, they're crazy. But Eden, this has been amazing. This has been such a good episode, because this really is what you know, my blog and business is all about, which is trying to help and inspire people to look beyond the limits of where they are and see what is possible. And I think sometimes people, they really do get in their heads, oh, you have to have gone out and you have to be, you know, a multimillionaire to be able to have this kind of lifestyle. And you just don't, you know, it's just a case of choosing, isn't it? It's about your mindset and kind of how you're willing to live, really. I mean, I think I would just say this before we go. One of the things that you do have to have, which obviously you guys have, oh, I do have one more question, is that kind of faith, if you like, that things are going to happen for the better. Like, for instance, you know, you'll reach, you know, 6 months ahead of a house sit and not have something in 6 months. That takes a particular mindset to say, well, I'm not entirely sure where I'm going to be living in 6 months' time, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it does take a lot of time too. I mean, we do spend, when we're looking for sits, I can spend 15, 20 hours a week between applying and researching. We don't, because we have an inner circle group of people.
Yeah.
And because of that, we get a lot of referrals. Like there's 150 people in there or something. We all post our referrals as we try to, honestly, in 32 sits, I think three sits have been on a platform.
Yeah.
Everything else has come from referrals. So that makes it a little bit easier, but there is a lot of research. How do we get from the airport to the house? How do I get from this point to the next sit? I mean, there's a lot of planning and things, but just let it be, it's going to come around. You have to be willing to do that. Although some people aren't. I mean, we have house sitter friends we know that love to be last minuters.
Yep.
They're booked out 45 days from now. And when that sit ends, they're available for whatever comes along.
Yeah, I think we'd be like that without our daughter. Once our daughter finishes school and Rhett and I just can go wherever we want, whenever we want, I think we'd be like that. We'd just wait and see what popped up.
We tried that. We really did try it while we were in Mexico, but I'm not that kind of person, apparently, because of my nerves. Like, my gut was like, oh, my God, we are 45 days from now. We don't know where we're going to be. Yeah. You know, not that we couldn't afford to take a hotel room or rent something. There's always a safety net, but I wanted to continue house sitting, right? I don't want to be grounded yet.
Yeah,
we're not ready to go buy stuff.
Yeah. And that was my question. What happened to all your stuff? What happened to all your kitchen stuff and all the rest of it? Where did all that go?
So we sold and gave away a lot of it. We left three, you know, those Rubbermaid tubs, like you put Christmas ornaments in and stuff.
Yeah.
We left three of those at a friend's house here in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
One of them was tools. Denny had kept a whole bunch of tools and thinking that we were going to come back here eventually and settle down. And some of my kitchen stuff was in there. Pictures, some art. We bought some statues, like little figurines from the States, collectibles of our personal stuff. So since we're here this time, we have to get rid of all that because we're not coming back.
Yeah.
So that has all gone now. We have about 15 pounds I'm adding to our suitcase this Friday when I pack, of those figurines and pictures that need to go back to the States with us, and my good set of knives. But other than that, we are down. We are literally down to two suitcases, everything we own.
I love that. We're pretty much the same. I mean, we've got a house here in Phuket, and I came with about 10 boxes from our other house, but most of it's stuff that we'd leave. You know, it's kitchen stuff and a you know, food processor and a, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you would, if you were traveling, you'd just say, sod it, or leave that, or sell it, or get rid of it, or Yeah.
Well, the thing is that so we got to Morocco and they didn't oranges are huge there. They huge orange but and so cheap. Like a giant bag of oranges is like 50 cents or something.
Yeah.
And they didn't have good orange juice in the store. So we bought a juicer. We bought an orange juicer and we left it behind.
Yeah.
In somewhere else we were, I think we bought like oh, in Thailand, we bought a juicer. Denny does extraction juicing.
Yeah.
We bought a juicer. But because it's a Thai plug, it's not going to do us any good taking it with us. So we left it in the apartment. We bought some
Yeah,
towels and some other stuff we left behind there. So yeah, because we don't have all those expenses every month. If there's something that would make us more comfortable in, on a long-term set per se, right?
yeah.
We would buy it to make ourselves more comfortable. We bought a juicer in Vegas before we head to Mexico, and we kept this with us the entire time we were in Mexico. We flew with it everywhere we went, so he had his juicer with him.
And you can always
But it
sell,
was.
you can always sell this stuff, you know. You can always just stick it on the local websites and stuff and get rid of it, or do somebody a good
Or some,
deed, you know, and go down
and just leave
to
it behind.
and just leave it, or even take it to, certainly here in Thailand, there's so many people who live in, you know, tiny little huts and stuff like that. If I walked up with a little juicer, you know, it'd make their blooming day. They'd be like, oh my God.
We just gave a whole tub of stuff to the what's called the cuidador, or like the ranch hand here at the house.
Yeah.
I had a fanny pack and a hat and just random things. And I'm like, I'm gonna take it to the secondhand store. Or do you want it and to give it to your parent, you know, between your family, divide it up. And he's just thrilled to get this box. There was some actually some art from Venice when we went on our honeymoon in Venice. But we weren't gonna take it with us. And he's, you know, he's gonna go to his mom's house and she's gonna put it up on a wall. You know, he was just thrilled. So
Yeah.
yeah, it all works out to everybody wins, basically.
Well, this has been a phenomenal podcast episode. Really good. Do you have any last sort of pieces of advice? Or we're gonna have to go because those frogs are clearly getting louder as the evening draws in. Do you have any sort of parting tips or pieces of advice?
Go to the websites and look at them because you can preview the houses. Not on House in Mexico, you can't get a lot of details, but all the other ones you can get the details and you can start dreaming basically. And then you can start putting your life in order with those dreams, right? Oh
Yeah.
my gosh, we can spend 3 weeks in France and watch chickens and hens and a donkey and live on a farm or not, or live next to Paris, you know, in an apartment, whatever. But look at them and see how big the world really is. That's
Yeah.
my biggest advice. And go explore it.
Fantastic advice. Well, Eden, thank you so much, darling. It's been awesome to speak to you. You know, safe travels from Nicaragua back to home.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And it was so good to catch up with you too. I'm looking forward to having a in person, a real in real life meetup.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To join in the conversation, please head over to joebarnesonline.com, where you can find links to podcasts, show notes, and sign up to download my free ebook, How to Build a Business You Can Run from Anywhere in the World. If you have a moment, please subscribe and quickly rate this podcast. I'm not sure where you're listening to this, but if you happen to be on iTunes, it literally takes a tenth of a second to hit the little stars, and your rating will ensure it gets out to more people and impacts as many as possible. Lastly, I'm super passionate about creating a movement of philanthropic investors, so please head over to joebarnesonline.com/microangel to find out more about how you can become a microangel and with just $25 impact thousands of women and children who desperately need our help. Thank you so much. I do hope you've enjoyed today's episode. See you on the next podcast, and in the meantime, get out there and make life happen.